Our text is Deuteronomy 18, verse 18. This is God's word. The Lord, through Moses, says, I will raise up for them a prophet like you from among their brothers, and I will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak them to all that I command him. And then turning to Acts, the third chapter, 22nd verse, here in the preaching of Peter, he refers to this passage of Moses, where he says in verse 22, Moses said, the Lord God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your brothers. You shall listen to him in whatever he tells you. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Now I invite you to turn with me in your copy of the Heidelberg Catechism to the 12th Lord's Day, as we look together this evening at the subject of God's Anointed One, who is described in this 12th Lord's Day. I'll tell you before we come to it that this is a very comprehensive Lord's Day. It will talk about Christ in his three offices, prophet, priest, and king. In our first series going through the Heidelberg Catechism, when we came to Lord's Day 12, I'm sure that you will all remember the sermon. We talked about Christ in his office of priest, and we looked at a passage from Hebrews and talked about the priestly office of Christ. Tonight, I would like, as we look at this 12th Lord's Day, to focus on the prophetic office of Christ. Let's listen to what the Catechism does as it summarizes the offices of Christ, our anointed Savior. Question 31, why is he called Christ, that is anointed? Because he is ordained of God the Father and anointed with the Holy Spirit to be our chief prophet and teacher, who has fully revealed to us the secret counsel and will of God concerning our redemption, and to be our only high priest, who by his one sacrifice of his body has redeemed us, and makes continual intercession with the Father for us, and also to be our eternal King, who governs us by his word and spirit, and who defends and preserves us in the enjoyment of that salvation he has purchased for us. Question 32, but why art thou called a Christian? Because I am a member of Christ by faith, and thus am partaker of his anointing, so that I may confess his name and present myself as a living sacrifice of thankfulness to him, and also that with free and good conscience I may fight against sin and Satan in this life and afterwards reign with him eternally over all creatures. Beloved in the Lord, as I said a moment ago, our subject this evening will be the prophetic office of the Lord Jesus Christ. This Lord's Day of the Heidelberg Catechism is rather comprehensive. In the scope of a short paragraph, the author of the Catechism very skillfully tells us all that Jesus was anointed or appointed to do under the headings of prophet, priest, and king. Having looked at his priestly ministry, I want to focus now on the prophetic ministry of the Lord Jesus, that for which he was anointed by the Holy Spirit, appointed by the Father, and that for which he came into this world as he accomplishes the will of God. We begin by asking the question, what is a prophet? You know, if he was anointed as a prophet and the great prophet, the chief prophet, and I believe the Catechism rightly defines it that way, he is the chief prophet among God's people and for God's people. A prophet is what? Well, the popular conception is that a prophet is, of course, some kind of a fortune teller who's able to predict future events. While that is something of a description of a small amount of the work of a prophet in the Old Testament scripture, when you look at the biblical passages that describe the work of a prophet, you will find very little dedicated to him speaking about what is going to come to pass as though he were gifted with telling the future. That did occur on a few occasions, but the great majority of the work of a prophet was the business of his telling the word of God. He was an instructor in the word of God, revealing the will of God to the people of God. And that is why the Heidelberg instructor tells us that the chief prophet is, in fact, the Lord Jesus Christ, because supremely Jesus in the prophetic ministry came to reveal the will of God to us, because he is God's word to his people. And so let's begin by looking at this prophetic the prophetic ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ. The scripture declares Jesus to be the Christ, and I trust that by now you know that that word Christ is not a name, but it's a title. I thought about this earlier this week, and I often thought we aren't so easily confused with John the Baptist. We always call him John the Baptist. His last name was not Baptist, right? He was John the Baptist. That was his office, that was his calling, that's what he was called to do. Jesus, however, is called the Christ, and we forget that that is also, like John the Baptist, a title rather than a name. It is a direct translation from the Old Testament word in Hebrew for Messiah that we get from the Old Testament scripture. It's just the Greek translation of the word anointed, and it's linked together with the word Messiah. In other words, he is Jesus the Messiah. He is Jesus the anointed one of God. His name is not Jesus first name and then last name Christ, but his name is Jesus. He is the Son of God. And the scripture emphasizes his title and his title as the anointed of God, because that identifies him as the one that the Father has sent into the world. When Jesus asked Peter and the disciples, "Who do men say that I am?" and then, "Who do you say that I am?" the answer that Peter gave back was, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." In other words, he recognized him as the promised one of the Old Testament scripture, the anointed of God, the Messiah, the fulfillment of God's gracious promise that he would send a redeemer. And Christ comes then to fill that office to which he is anointed. And anointing is strongly connected with the messianic words of the Old Testament and the offices to which people were appointed. Often you will find in scripture that when someone was appointed to an office, such as David the king, what happened? Samuel was told to go and anoint with oil one of the sons of Jesse. And so he went, and after eliminating all of the earlier ones, the older ones, he finally comes to this ruddy, complected youth who is barely a teenager, and God says, "He's the one, anoint him." And so he anoints David, and that was symbolic of several things. It was symbolic of God's calling upon David's life, his anointing him and setting him apart to the office of the king over Israel. And it also, by the anointing with oil, symbolized the fact that he needed to be filled and empowered by the Holy Spirit for the work that he was going to carry out. David did not carry out his work in his own strength and in his own power. In fact, that's the key to the understanding of that wonderful passage in which David faces the giant Goliath. It is not because David was such a good shot with a slingshot that he defeats the giant. It is not because David had some special plan that went to work for him that he had some ability. When David made that confession before Goliath, who stood there uttering his imprecations, his curses against God and the people of Israel who worshiped God, David stood with boldness of faith before him and said, I come to you in the name of the living God. And then he said, I'm going to put you down and I'm going to kill you. Because he went in the strength of the name of God. He knew by the filling and the power of God in his life that he was going to be able to defeat that giant. And the oil that is used in anointing is always symbolic of the filling of the Holy Spirit, who characteristically comes to empower a person for the work for which he is called. He is qualified by the calling of God for the office and anointed by oil that symbolizes the indwelling Holy Spirit, apart from which we could do nothing. Jesus is the one who is anointed, and the fullness of the Spirit comes upon him. And he knew that he was anointed of God, for he quotes the Isaiah prophecy from the 61st chapter when he's preaching in the synagogue, and he says, today this very passage has been fulfilled in your hearing. That's why the writer of the Catechism speaks of Christ, the Christ, as being anointed prophet, priest, and king, set aside, set apart, and called to these three offices for the work that he would carry out on our behalf. He would be the everlasting king whose dominion would have no end. Earthly kings reign and rule. There's a queen sitting on the throne in England now, just celebrated 60 years. But you know what? She's getting old. And someday, she's not going to be living anymore. And she'll just be another footnote in the history books of the kings and the queens that have come and gone in Great Britain. And the kings of earth, their names have been recorded, and their deaths have been recorded as well. But there will never be a recording of the death of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, because Jesus lives forever and his kingdom will have no end. He's also anointed to be our priest. And as such, he is the everlasting priest, as the writer of Hebrews tells us, after the order of Melchizedek. He is the one who reigns and rules, and he is the one who intercedes for his people, always constantly available for the prayers of his people and offering the prayers of his people to the very throne of God. It is this office of anointing, however, as the chief teacher and prophet of God that concerns us this evening. As chief prophet and the teacher of God who perfectly reveals to us the will of God, this is what Christ was anointed for. He was anointed to the prophetic office. The prophet of God has a true knowledge of God, speaks in his name, and declares his praises. If you need a short definition of a prophet, that's what a prophet and that's what the prophetic office is all about. He has a true knowledge of God. He speaks in the name of God, revealing the word of God, and he declares the praises of God. Now, excuse me. Originally in the Garden of Eden, Adam possessed that priestly and prophetic office as well. But because he fell, Adam could no longer be a true prophet of God. He at one time possessed the true knowledge of God. As he opened his eyes to the world around him, he spoke to the world around him, and he revealed God's will to the world. We see that when he named the animals. The naming of the animals wasn't just to say, well, this one looks good. You know, your name is going to be Lassie because you look like a dog, and we're going to name you this or that. No, when he named the animals, he declared God's will for the animals, and he tended the garden, and he was the Lord over the garden in the name of God. declaring God's praises and declaring God's will to the world in which he lived. But when Adam fell and was lost in sin, he lost the truth of God. The truth became bent and it became twisted and turned into a lie, and Adam, in fact, became a false prophet because he had rebelled against the word of God. He could no longer be a true prophet. And as a result of the fall, all of mankind has become a false prophet unless by grace they have been redeemed, their eyes have been opened, their hearts have been renewed, and the truth of God is now written upon their very hearts. All in all, the prophetic office clearly recognizes that man was created originally to glorify God in a certain way, and after the fall, he fails to do so in a way that Scripture says, in this manner, he falls short of the glory of God. It required the redemptive work of the Lord Jesus to restore us to the prophetic office, to be those who speak God's word in this world, to speak the truth of God, to reveal the will of God as it's recorded in the pages of Scripture, so that God's word once again would be heard in this world that he made for his glory. And God began to send prophets into his world that were filled with his Holy Spirit. In fact, prophets were characteristically so filled with the Spirit that they were overwhelmed and overpowered by the Holy Spirit at times. Do you recall the story when Saul was looking for his lost donkeys? And he went from place to place, and he had been gone a long time. And near the end of that search, it says that he was overcome by the Spirit, and he began to praise God, and he began to prophesy. And people stood back, and they saw this, and they recognized that Saul, their future king, was filled with the Holy Spirit. What had happened was the Holy Spirit had come and empowered him and overpowered him in such a way that all he would do would speak for the glory of God as he prophesied and as he spoke and as he praised the name of God. But the prophets were mere humans. Prophets such as, there are many prophets, but many of the prophets had their own problems and failures and were judged for their sins as well, because there was never a complete or perfect prophet until the coming of Jesus Christ. All of the prophets that came under the Old Testament economy were merely foreshadowing the coming of the Lord Jesus, who would be filled by the Word and the Spirit, because he himself is the Word incarnate. He was subject to the Word and obedient to the Word, because his desire was, as he says, to do only the will of the Heavenly Father. And when he spoke the word and declared the word and the will of God, it was only to do the will of his Heavenly Father. And so Jesus comes to be the fulfillment of that great prophecy which we read from Deuteronomy 18, where God said, I will send a prophet like you, like Moses in this way, that God spoke to him and through him. But he would be a greater than Moses, because he would be the one who would speak the very word of God. And so thirdly, I'd like you to think with me about this passage and about what our catechism teaches us when it tells us that Christ is the great prophet. All of the prophets that preceded him point to the Lord Jesus. Deuteronomy 18 predicts prophets to come, and the prophet who would come is the prophet who declares the will of God perfectly, the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the one who is called the God-man, God in the flesh. It is the very person of the Son of God who is described in Scripture as very God of very God, who lived among us, who talked with us in human language, who spoke with us and to us, and when he spoke to us to reveal the will of God, he spoke the most perfect expression of the will of God that ever came. Our true prophet is the Word made flesh. Therefore, he could say, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He is the truth. Therefore, he is the faithful witness, as the book of Revelation describes him. And in the Lord Jesus, we have the prophetic office perfectly fulfilled, because he alone, of all of the prophets, has a perfect knowledge of the God whom we worship and serve, because he is God. He speaks in the name of God, because he is the Son sent of the Father into this world, and he declares his praises through the Lord Jesus Christ. Believers are called to God and anointed with his Holy Spirit to be prophets, priests, and kings like Christ. And so we find in our catechism that the catechism writer says we are called Christians because we share in his anointing. We are called prophets of God because we can know God. We know his word as he reveals himself to us in his word. We speak for God as we declare his word to the world in which we live. When you tell someone of their need of a Savior, you're declaring God's word to them. When you tell them of the Savior who is revealed in the Scripture and you share with them the gospel, you are prophetically declaring the word and the will of God, because it is the will of God that the word declares the Savior of sinners and calls men to repentance and faith in Jesus Christ. The prophetic office lives on in us because we share in his anointing, and as a part of our calling as Christians, we must then hear the voice of the true prophet and obey it. In listening to the voice of Christ, we must hear it in his word, because we don't hear it as we lay on our pillow at night thinking he spoke to me or he said something to me. I've always been puzzled at that expression. I've heard it so many times, and perhaps you have too, but I've heard it among singers in particular. Before they begin the song that they're going to sing, have you ever heard them say, the Lord gave me this message? And I often want to step up and ask them the question, how did you get it? Was it in a postal letter? Did he slide it under your pillow like the tooth fairy? How did you get this message that you say God gave to you? Because the only God that I know of is the one revealed in Scripture, and the only message that I know that God gives is the one that he imprinted into Holy Scripture, and the written word of God is the way in which the God of Scripture speaks today through the living word of God to the hearts of people. He doesn't speak through the voices of so-called prophets. You will not hear a voice of God speaking to you to tell you what particular thing to buy in the store or which direction to go if you're lost on a highway and you don't know the way you're going home. God does not speak that way, audibly. God does not use a voice any longer, because he contained that voice in the person of the Lord Jesus. And it says he is done talking because he spoke. And he is not going to speak again to us in Jesus Christ. How do we know that? Because that's a compilation of what's said in the first verses of Hebrews, the first chapter. God in various times and diverse manners hath in the times past spoken by the prophets, but in these days he has spoken, never to speak again, through his Son. And then the writer of Hebrews goes on through the entire rest of the book of Hebrews to exalt and to reveal and to glorify the Christ through whom God speaks. Beloved, Don't listen to anyone who says, God gave me a message. Now, God's Spirit can certainly give our hearts joy and fill us with inspired praise. And we can be rejoicing at what we read, but we must be careful that we say what Scripture says. And Scripture says, God doesn't speak any longer. And as Christians, we then must go back to His Word and stick to it and stay with the Scripture. And that is that which is our message to the world today. And when the Holy Spirit anoints us and empowers us and perhaps even emboldens us in our ministry, in our prophetic ministry as Christians, it is so that we might be empowered to explain the Word of God to the world in which we live. And that's why the writer of the Catechism says we confess His name. That is, we confess Jesus before the world. We confess that He is the true and the living God. We confess that He is the one revealed in the pages of Scripture. We confess and we declare to a world lost in sin that it needs the God of Scripture who has given us His Son, the Lord Jesus, who alone is salvation. And the promise of God is that all who trust in Him, repent of their sins, and call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. And we have been given that prophetic office because we must declare to the world that we live in the Savior who is the Savior revealed in the pages of Scripture. That's why we must be lighthouses, if you will, light bearers in a world lost in the darkness of sin. We bring hope to those to whom we communicate this word of hope in a world that is lost in despair and has nowhere to turn. People today are trying to fill the despair and the hopelessness of their human hearts with things that will not satisfy. The only thing that satisfies is Jesus. That's what Scripture teaches, and we bring that message to the world through the prophetic office that God has called us to, having restored us by grace to that which Adam lost by sin, to bear the message and the word of God to the world that He made, to tell the world that Jesus is the Savior, proclaiming the knowledge of God to the world that despises His truth, to tell this world that there is a Savior and He's coming again. And we are given this task because Christ, our chief prophet, has revealed God to us and brought us into His kingdom and brought us into His family. And no wonder the disciples, in their excitement, as it's recorded in the Gospel of John, were aroused to joy and praise when they found Jesus was the anointed of God, the Messiah, the Savior that was promised. They met this man named Jesus, who was the Christ, the anointed of God, prophet, priest, and king over His people. And they met Him, the one who would be Lord of lords and King of kings throughout all eternity. And their hearts were filled with joy. And our hearts should rejoice as well, for He has come to us through the gospel of grace, and He has met us in our sin, and He has blessed us, and He has called us to be His own. Christ has called us to be His prophetic voice in the day in which we live and until He comes again. May God give us that empowerment, that emboldening power to speak God's word to this world until Jesus comes again. Amen.